This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, final hour here of Brock and Salk. We'll talk to Pete Carroll coming up in a half hour. Looking forward to that at 9:30, our first Pete Carroll show of the year. 9:30 this morning with a ton of questions for the coach, not only about what happened in the game, but you know we'll revisit certainly the article that came out in Sports Illustrated on Friday and effect that had. A lot to talk about with Coach Carroll coming up here at 9:30. In the meantime, big picture, obviously disappointing. Anytime you lose, it's tough.
And you have a chance to win that game in the second half. I mean, there's no question about it. Some of the stats you look at, Mike, and 500 to 300 yards of offense, two third down conversions, one rushing first down, 9 minutes you've given up in time of possession. But you take the ball away three times. And any time in this league you take the ball away three times, you have every shot in the world to win that game.
Great equalizer. And so I'm trying to figure out how to categorize it, because if you just look at the stats, they really shouldn't have even been in the game. And so there's a lot of reason for being discouraged. If you look at, obviously, the way the whole fourth quarter went, you have a lead late, you have an opportunity to win, you allow them. I know people are going to complain about the final touchdown, but they allowed them to march down the field long before the touchdown was actually scored. So I don't know. I found a lot of reasons for hope and optimism. I definitely found some reasons for negativity and pessimism. But at the end of the day, I just kind of had fun watching it. And maybe it's just because I don't feel that same level of urgency and pressure. And I know Coach Carroll would get mad at me for saying that. I know he thinks he does. Yeah. But as a fan and somebody watching it, I don't have the same intense level of expectation for this team. So it gives me a whole lot more grace in watching
it. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I'm curious, did it feel in any way like, can you even remember? Well, maybe with your memory and my memory, it's a bad question. But can you even think back to 2010, 2011, when this thing started? Did it feel like that? Did it feel like, man, this is so much new here? And in many ways, it did for me with some of the youth and seeing guys do amazing things. You won't see many running backs in this entire league do what Chris Carson did. You won't see punters average 59 yards a punt. You won't see 270-pound men rumbling and stumbling and having a 100-yard day. I mean, those are things that you just don't see much across the league, much like you don't see a 6'3", 230-pound strong safety or a 6'3 corner like Richard or, you know, a 5'10 running 4'3 free safety like Earl making like. You know, that's what we started to see then, and you saw some sure glimpses of young people doing some pretty remarkable stuff.
What do we make of Earl?
Oh, Earl was supposed to speak on Friday, by the way. There was a thought, and I think he just finally said, no, I'm not going to do it. Not going to be a distraction, maybe a little concerned of what he was going to say. There was certainly a belief that he was going to share Friday, wanted to meet with the press, and then ultimately pulled the plug on it and ultimately got himself to game day and started, made one heck of a play early in that game, Mike. I'm uncomfortable with that post-game sound. You know,
yeah, let me play it for you. Cut 12. They asked Earl about how he was going to go out and play. He said this.
All I can do is just, you know, put the best product out there as possible, protect myself until I do get paid.
It just makes my skin crawl. It's just hard.
Did you see him make any business decisions?
It's impossible for me to judge that without looking like at all of the film and seeing it. Did he not make a sack late in the game? Sure. I mean, that was just a physical error. You know, there's no way Pete's going to answer that question definitively on or off the record. You know, he's going to protect his guy.
Before I heard that sound, there was one play where I questioned it.
Yeah.
I have no idea. You're right. You have no idea whether he made a business decision or not. There was one play where near the end of the play, it seemed like he had a chance to just sort of, you know, tack on a little hit. Mm-hmm. And it looked like he passed on the opportunity. Now, maybe he did it because of the new rules and he's trying to be careful. Maybe he did it because. But once you say, I'm trying to protect myself.
I hate that we even have to judge that or talk about
that. You have to once you say, I'm going to protect myself until I get paid, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to protect myself until I get paid. What does that mean? You're not going to play 100%? There's moments that you're going to hold back. You would play more. You wouldn't protect yourself if you were paid. But because you're not, there are moments that you're going to play differently. I don't entirely know what all that means. He also spoke about what it was like playing with a whole lot of new faces in the secondary.
Yeah, it's definitely different. The communication factor is key. The trust factor is key. That's the two biggest things that I can think of right now.
All right, what's the adjustment?
You know, in a baseball lineup, Mike, when everyone just looks out for themselves and I'm going to swing for the fences, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to protect my own stats, what happens? What happens? What happens in a basketball game? I'm going to get mine, man. Sorry. I'm going to get my shots. I'm going to get my points. I got to take care of myself, man. I got to get my deal. You watch it in AAU bag, I get my scholarship. You watch it all that. I mean, what happens? What happens in the ultimate team game with the defense? It all has to fit together.
Nothing good.
Right? It just even having to have this conversation, and I appreciate his honesty. I mean, I do. I'm not ripping him for his honesty and his transparency that he's going to look out for himself. If you follow him on Instagram, if you follow his wife on Twitter, his on Twitter last night went wild. I mean, just went crazy with the 12s there about the respect and the how can you still not respect and respect for him. Let's be very clear. Mm. Respect for him is one thing and one thing alone.
Money.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it. Money talks. Everything else. You know, that's it.
But that's true.
Everything else just
and that's
walks.
True of most guys in the NFL. I mean, how do you show respect to a player? You pay them. You show that they're deserving in this case of a third contract at big money. And as of now, the Seahawks have shown no inclination to do that.
And the market has shown that.
He shows some level of disrespect. Pete Carroll was asked about Earl and what it was like having him back. He seemed happy.
Well, it's terrific having him back. He's a terrific football player. He handled the return, and our players handled the return perfectly. And he worked real hard. They embraced him coming back in. You know, we knew we couldn't play him the whole game, but we wanted to give him a great chance to contribute, and he did immediately. He just handled it as well as you could possibly handle it.
It really is
amazing.
And, you
know, so did our players. So.
It's amazing that he had a pick in his second possession.
Of course.
I mean, of course
that's
he
awesome.
Does. Right? I mean, like, what is this? Cut one? Of course Earl Thomas would come out and just a few plays into returning and holding out.
Just shove it this.
Motion across the formation is the tight end. Keenum's going to throw on first down. He throws right down the middle. It's intercepted. Earl Thomas, 35, 30, looks for blocking near sideline. 20, 15, run out of bounds at the 15-yard line. Earl Thomas, welcome back to the Seahawks, my friend.
Of course.
The first pick of the season. The Seahawks have been looking for takeaways, and they get it from their all-pro, six-time Pro Bowl Earl Thomas, and it was served up right in his wheelhouse.
It sure was. The only thing that would have been better is he scored. He jumps into Pete's arms like he did the referee, and he's yelling at him.
No chance.
Show me my money.
No chance.
Pay me my money.
Come get me.
Come get me.
Did you say Case Keenum throw that ball and then almost just like before?
Oh, yeah, he knew. It was
he'd
a
like immediately going to make a tackle.
What a disaster.
Not a good throw.
Oh, no.
Yeah, just of course he would, right?
Show me my money.
Of course that's the way it went. Let me read you a few texts and see if we can run through.
And by the way, I agree with Pete. I'll let you read these. It was perfect. His practice week, I told you, he's going to keep to himself. It was not an issue. It was not a distraction. Everything, I think, in that buildup,
but
I just...
when you ask him about it,
yeah,
he's going to make some business decisions
yep.
this year. Why have the Seahawks not brought in Deshaun Shedd as a text message? I am a little surprised, and I wonder if that will happen this week. It seems like something that could.
Yep.
Earl showed a lack of effort on the long Sanders play. He caught the ball behind him, and instead of giving chase, he just stood there and watched. I don't know whether I saw that, but I'm not saying you're wrong. Bunch of people saying that, and then a lot of questions about the kicking game.
Yeah.
Is this Blair Walsh redux, Brock?
Oh,
I want you to answer that question, then we'll delve into Russell Wilson next. I'm Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
All right, 15 minutes away from Pete Carroll coming over to sit down and chatting about what he saw yesterday. It was an up-and-down performance for sure, and that's not just true of the game, but true of Russell Wilson as well, who Brock was not his best. It was not the best outing we've ever seen from Russell. He had some really dynamic plays, certainly the throw to Tyler Lockett, the throw, both the touchdown to Disley. I mean, the guy had three touchdowns in the game.
Yep.
So it's funny sitting here saying that Russell was awful, and I know there have been a lot of people complaining about that, but he wasn't quite himself, and obviously in the biggest moment, fumbled the snap, which you just can't do.
Well, you saw that graphic go up in the fourth quarter last year. He set an NFL record. And, you know, Peyton Manning and John Elway and Dan Marino, Dan Fouts, a lot of guys put up a lot of numbers in this league, a lot more than, you know, numbers, pure numbers-wise, than Russell may ever do. But none of them had ever thrown 19 touchdown passes in the fourth quarter which he did a season ago. Mm. A big reason why they were so dominant in that fourth quarter, won the fourth quarter convincingly all season long, and save for two games where they couldn't make a kick, would have won 11 games last year. You know, his fourth quarter production was off the charts. And that is why yesterday, I thought the first three quarters, he was, you know, tremendous. He was tremendous. He had a QB rating of like 125 going into the fourth quarter. Three touchdowns. Yeah, they ran a funky coverage that kind of bluffed him. He looked like Brandon was wide open, and they dropped the safety, and he made an unbelievable pick. But, you know, I mean, outside of that, for three quarters, he played tremendous ball. Just that fourth quarter, here we go. Come alive, man. Case Keenum's thrown you three picks. You know, their secondary is very average. Their front's phenomenal. But you've got opportunities now. Go finish this sucker, man. Go make that play. Make that decisive third down throw. And that loss of Doug, I think, really affected him in the fourth quarter, and tremendously so on third down on two of those drives that he just didn't quite pull the trigger. And then, as you said, to fumble a snap kind of robbed all of us the opportunity to see what he could have done.
It's such a shame. It's such a lousy way for that game to essentially end, because we don't get to see whether he could have completed the comeback, as he's often done. I mean, that's sort of the thing. Russell doesn't fumble the snap. If he drives him down to the 35-yard line and Sebastian Janikowski makes good on a 52-yarder, which he's perfectly capable of hitting in that environment, are we talking about all of the issues? Probably not. Yeah, there's some ups and downs, but we're not seeing this piling on of Russell Wills. And I got to tell you, just a side note, it's gross. It really is gross. And I know it's just Twitter, and I know it's nothing, and I know it's just the reaction to a game. Mm-hmm. But Russell, the way he is judged is nuts. The level of animosity and the way people forget all of the great plays and things Russell Wilson's done over the course of his career is crazy.
Do you want to know my opinion on that?
The moment he doesn't have one good play, the moment one thing gets away from, he didn't spot this guy that I think on TV is wide open in the end zone. Well, he's got nine guys chasing him, and he's desperately trying. It's like all of a sudden he can't play.
Yeah.
It is the most bizarre reaction.
Do you want my opinion on that? A lot of quarterbacks face that, and the majority of them, and especially when you get paid, you won a Super Bowl, the bar just gets ratcheted up. But honestly, do you want my opinion on why I think it's even more different for Russell? Is because even after 6 years, there's a lot of people that just will not and do not ever want to admit that he's really good. They want to hold on to their thought early on that he's not a franchise quarterback. That there's just this, like, a cyst, like the Dr. Pimple Popper that's been growing for six years. Okay?
He's banned from this show.
Okay,
no
fine.
More mentions of Dr. Pimple
Popper. Fine, that's the last
Please.
Time. That's the last time I will say it.
It consumes your life.
That's the last time I will say it. I'm not going to go there.
If you say it again, I will not talk for 5 minutes.
You'll go silent treatment?
I will give you the silent
Don't
treatment.
Say that, because then people are going to text
anything
in.
Anything back to Dr. Pimple Popper.
No, it'll be on you. You'll have to deal with it
Great.
By yourself.
I'll deal with it. But honestly, I think there's a huge group that never wants to admit it and can't wait to say, see, I told you. I told you.
Really?
Oh, yeah, see, I told you. Yep. I think there's a lot of people still out there that want to say, yep, I told you, it took 6 years, took taking away his defense, took taking away this and taking away that and taking, see, yep, it's a whole lot more bare, and see what happens? He can't do this and he can't care. I think, unfortunately, you have that audience that still wants to hold
You're
on
right.
to that opinion.
I started to see yesterday on Twitter a lot of the he can't see over the line talk was
sure.
coming back. Oh, he
yep.
can't see the slant,
and
can't see over the line.
And there were a couple of plays where, obviously, you know, there were people in his grill and he threw high because of it, and maybe a 6'6 quarterback doesn't do that. That's possible. We all agree there are going to be plays where Russell Wilson's height affects him in a negative way. They're balanced off by other plays where he keeps it alive, moves the pocket, shifts right, shifts left, and does some of the things that are unique to Russell Wilson. And overall, at this point in his career, we're really questioning this?
Some people still do, yes.
Unequivocally, some people still do. I honestly do.
In this market and all over the country. And it is gross. Yeah, I think it is gross. I think his record speaks for itself. I would think after, I don't know, 20-some, 5,000 yards in this league, a whole lot of wins, second most touchdowns in the history of this league through 6 years, and added three more to it yesterday. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you play that position, you're going to have immense criticism. And I think because he proves so many people wrong, do people like to be proved wrong, Mike? No. No, they don't.
They don't.
They want their opinion eventually to be proved right. See, right. I told you so. I see you told you that run differential is going to come up bite you guys right in the butt. I told you so, you baseball writers of America. I told you. We live in an I told you so society, and there's going to be people just sitting and waiting on this year more than ever to just dump that narrative.
Quickly, Brock, before Pete Carroll joins us here in about 10 minutes. Danny O'Neill has a thought, and I think that there's a lot of legitimacy to it. The kickers are like spoiled milk, and that once they turn, they're done. You should throw them out. It was true last year of Blair Walsh. It's been true of others. Where's Sebastian Janikowski on that list? Has the milk turned, or is he still okay?
I'm not going to judge it on two missed kicks. I'm just not going to do that. Now, it didn't end well in the preseason either. That once this was his job, you know, that last preseason game kicking into the north end, that's no joke. You know, he doesn't have a 16-game leash. You know, I think they'd be crazy to do what they did with Blair Walsh and give him every opportunity. And Dan Bailey's out on the street. And I don't know if Dan Bailey can kick or not. And he obviously got cut in Dallas, and maybe there's other teams that will pay more or what have you, but this is a game-by-game evaluation. I'll say that. I think when you miss kicks, unfortunately, it becomes now a game-by-game situation, and he missed two, right? I mean, to get a reboot yesterday, man, that second one is just like, that can't, to the same spot, and even worse, like that thing's, man, you got to tighten this little grip right there.
Yeah.
Like, we can't have that slice go again right there. We need to do something to punch here and puncture that through the uprights in that moment for sure.
We get a lot of questions for Coach Carroll. What did he think of Russell's performance? Where is this team going? Where can they improve? We'll ask him those and a whole lot more next. Don't go anywhere. The Pete Carroll Show is coming up on Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
All right, a little reminder, Pete Carroll is going to be joining us here in just a moment. Every week this season, we'll be giving away two tickets to Seahawks home games. We do it during the Pete Carroll Show, Mondays at 9:30. Here's the deal. Later in the day, we will make a video of one of the highlights of our conversation with the coach. That link will get posted at 710sports.com/win, and then you can become eligible to win the tickets just by watching that video. But here's the thing, Brock, that's not all.
Oh.
There are ways to improve your chances to win. You can gain more entries by doing some things like going to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, our Instagram page here for the station, 710 ESPN Seattle, or by downloading the 710 ESPN Seattle app. All of those things will give you extra entries to win the tickets to a Seahawks game. So that you, once you've entered and done all you need to do, you listen Wednesday morning at 8:15 when we will pick a random name out of everyone who's entered and announce that person as the winner. You'll then have 5 minutes to call in and redeem your prize. If not, we go to the next person. I think that only happened one time last year. So you got to be listening Wednesday at 8:15 once you've entered.
And, one time where we had a winner or one time where
only
the backup?
One time where we had to go to the backup.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I believe there was one time where we had to go to the backup. Other than that, we've had a lot of success. So make sure you listen and then go to 710sports.com/win a little bit later on today to watch the video.
Well, that plays into, I think, a little bit of the theme of this show today, just the big picture versus the details, right? Some of the details right there to win these tickets. You can't just be listening to 8:15. There's some details. And I think in many ways, that game yesterday, kind of like that as well. In the big picture, some awesome stuff. You know, in the little picture, some details that certainly need to be cleaned up as the head coach comes to sit down with us.
Stay with these guys now. Coach them up. Keep them going.
The Pete Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Brock and Salk.
Exactly what you want.
Presented by Banner Bank, VenueKings.com, and Les Schwab Tires on 710 ESPN Seattle.
All right, here we are with Coach Carroll for the first time. We'll do one of these after every game this season as we have. It's been a while now. Brock and I were just talking about this. We've been doing these Pete Carroll shows now for a long time.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing them with us. We really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to another full year of it. Unfortunately, disappointing day yesterday. What'd you say?
Oh man, we missed an opportunity. Not much talk was played in the media about their home opening success over the years.
What, 18-1 in the last 19 years?
Yeah, I was totally tuned into it. We didn't talk about it with the fellas at all, but I just wanted to capture that opportunity and be the one that turned that thing around. And the last time that they got beat, Seabass hit a game winner.
In 20 years ago?
Yeah, like 10 years ago.
2011. Yeah.
It was 2011. Mm-hmm. Yeah, way back when. So in my mind, I had it all pictured that was how it might even turn out again, where he might be the one again, you know, and all the thing. Anyway, so we had a great opportunity. We made the plays to get us ahead, you know, and with a great touchdown pass to Locke, and we just needed to hold it off, and we didn't do it. And there was enough stuff in between that we'll talk about all the other stuff, but we came down, we had a great chance to win the game and didn't get done, so we missed that opportunity.
How challenging is the heat and the altitude there in September?
Well, you know, I've asked a lot, you know, because I didn't think our guys played like it was bothered them, but they were, you know, there was guys throwing up and there were some issues and there was, you know, we had guys that we had to, you know, do the IVs and stuff like that, but our guys hung really well. There was no talk of it. There was no attention to it at all. They just played right through it. But there's kind of a pall over the feeling because you just can't quite feel as energized as you want to. You can just tell that it's different, you know. But the guys played through it and came out in the second half, and the sun went away, you know, and it got a little cloudy for a while, and we caught fire and played some really good ball there, particularly on defense. And so I thought we handled it, but every guy will tell you that it was hard.
What was your biggest picture takeaway of the whole 60 minutes in the whole game? What was your biggest takeaway?
Well, that we didn't play good enough football, you know, and I say that because that we had two enormous plays on defense that changed the game, you know, and we busted both of them. They're just busts. And when that happens, you know, sometimes you survive those kinds of plays and you get on to the next one. And there's some games, plays in the game that happened. But for them to throw a flat route for a touchdown and then they throw a crossing route for a touchdown and it's a gimme. That's too much in that game. You know, make them earn their way down the field and maybe they kick field goals instead. And it's a totally different outcome. So it's our inability to just be really clean throughout the game. And we showed some newness and unfortunately it got us.
How'd Russell play?
He got rushed, you know, he got hammered. We got sacked six times in the game and it's going to be hard for him. And he was in the midst of some of those. So, you know, he bailed a couple times and got in trouble. But we didn't protect him as well as we need to throughout. And you can watch in the game, you would see this, Brock, that he could have had to avoid a rush one time, and then the next four-man protection is great, and he's sitting right in there, and he looks great. So he was just he reacted to what was happening pressure-wise, and unfortunately, we didn't protect him well enough for him to have a really clean game. All through the preseason, he never had any issues at all. And then in this game, sure enough, right off the bat, bang, bang, you know, and they're on us. Look at the first play of the game. They play man-to-man, and they add the pressure to the blockers that we had, and then they get good pressure on us. The very next play, four-man protection, he's holding the ball for 6 seconds back there or something, you know. So it was the inconsistency made it hard on him, and then he just needed to bail us out a couple more times. And sometimes he does, and in this game in particular, they did a really good job on us, and we didn't get it done.
Was it a tough week for him with the article coming out on SI.com on Friday?
I don't think so. I think it was harder than it needed to be, but he was fine. He was fine. I thought his statement that he wrote and it showed how classy he is and how up above the fray he is, and he was fine about it. But he's human, you know. You don't want people talking about you like that, you know, and whatever. But I thought he handled it really well, and he's as good as you can get at doing it. But he's normal. He's a human too, you know. So
how about for you? You got thick enough skin and been around the block enough? Or?
Yeah. I'm disappointed that guys can't move on, you know, and get going. Writers as well as people contributing to the writing, you know, but that's, you know, that's behind us and I don't care about it.
It was an interesting game for Russell. Brock and I spent a lot of the day talking about him and it continues to surprise me that there are people, and I don't know how large the group is. It's so hard to tell when you see whether things are a silent or a loud minority or whether it actually is representative of a large group of people out there who were really frustrated with Russell's game overall yesterday. And I, you know, forgetting about what happened on the final drive, but holding the ball too long, missing some open receivers. Did you see that, or was it?
Yeah, there was chances. There was chances. I think that's. There's a lot going on. I'm not trying to cover for him at all. I think it was a hard game. Right off the bat, we got hammered, and he got hit a couple times in this game that makes a difference. Every quarterback that's ever played feels that stuff, and so you have to get around it. I thought he bounced back when he could. We didn't quite get it done, and what really shows up is the third down numbers. You know, we've been through this a million times with you, but 2 out of 12, and you know, you're not going to get it done. And there was too many third and longs, you know, from third and nine up, there were 6 or 7 of them or whatever it is. And that's enough to wreck your day. And if you don't overcome it, we weren't as clean as we need to be. He can play way better. He could have got us out of some issues early by getting rid of the football a couple times, but things got taken away. And so that he got resourceful like he's going to do. He knows, and we talked about it last night. He knows sometimes when he takes off, great stuff happens, and sometimes you run into trouble, and it happened a couple times. They're a very athletic rush, and they did a really nice job, and they were able to get him down. You know, a couple times he almost got away when he's rolling out, and that guy trips him. You know, well, that's the difference of, you know, a big play or not, possibly.
So. You know, you talk about all quarterbacks, and they get banged, and they get hit, and get out of rhythm. It's 100% right. Just look at opening week with Breeze and Roethlisberger and Matt Ryan, all of them. So they're all in that spot.
It's hard. It's hard. The way that we counter that is we run the ball better, and we didn't run the ball well enough to offset their rush, and so all of that fits together, and you know, it always goes back to the QB. Everybody's going to focus on that. Russ needed to do better than he did yesterday, but we needed to help him a lot.
What went wrong in the running game?
We didn't do it enough. We didn't do it enough. And that goes back to, I'll always tell you, that goes back to we didn't convert on third down, so then you're off the field and you don't get to use your the ready list that you had. You know, we didn't get through it. We ran the ball six times in the first half. We had, how many plays? We had 16 plays?
16 runs, I believe.
Or,
right?
Yeah, but I think there's
like 15 in the first half.
15 plays in the first half. Yeah. You know, that's not enough to even, you can't figure it out.
So,
you know?
So I can appreciate that, but I got to follow up and say, why come out and throw the ball twice to start the game? Why third and inches? Is it a passing play? I mean, there were some other opportunities to run the ball, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yes, yes and yes and yes, all of that. The third down, the short thing, we had a real shot at it. So we went ahead and went for it. We're pretty bold about it. Pretty bold coming out, throwing right off the bat with a big play action down the field. But we had protected those so well, and we thought we would do it, and they added on, and they did a nice job of getting to us. So sometimes it doesn't work out just right. And for whatever reason, and I don't know that this is the case, but for whatever reason, at that place, it hasn't worked out for anybody, you know. And so, and I didn't want to be conservative, you know, going in. I wanted to see, because I knew we needed to score some points to get going. We had a really nice plan to open it up and go after. But unfortunately, the lack of conversions and some of the third and long things that got to us, we didn't overcome it, and it was hard.
Did you feel more of the diversity in the run game? I know there's only 16 snaps of it, so that's probably hard to gauge, but do you feel like there's a whole lot more pieces to play with and more scheme and opportunity as this thing unfolds?
Yeah, the angle block stuff happened again for us. You know, we hit the trap, and we hit a nice wham play. We did some nice stuff. There's some things there for us that are going to be good. That just we just got to get to them. We didn't have the opportunity, you know, to access them.
How was Carson's wind and conditioning in the game? He didn't take as many snaps as I think people would have guessed, considering his success.
He felt it. Yeah, he felt it. I know. I was checking with Chad throughout the game. You know, and those guys were feeling a little bit. First game, maybe a little bit jitters and all the rest. Again, I think that's part of why it's hard to play there. And historically, they've been good at it. There's a factor. He ran tough as can be, you know, and did a nice job. Everything but the time the guy took the ball out of his hands. I mean, that was an unbelievable play. I don't even see anything happen that fast.
The thin air, how he was able to leapfrog the guy.
Got a little air time.
A little extra hop.
What did Rabel call him? Nehemiah? What was the nickname?
Skeets.
Oh, there
you
go.
Yeah, I got it.
Rabel dropped that. By the way, I got to play the highlight of highlights here. You always like hearing Rabel's calls. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you get to hear him any other times.
No, I don't.
Uncle Will Disley right here. I'll give Kyle and Lydia an opportunity. Kyle, let me know when you've got it.
Yeah, this is
this was amazing. And literally, I think Rabel dropped. You wanted to be aggressive out the gate, right? You wanted to set the tone. Like Rabel, game number one, dropped everything he had on this highlight. You got it, big Kyle?
Russell, play fake, dumps it across the middle. It's Whit Stitzley again, across midfield, 40. He's still moving, 35. He's breaking tackles, 20, 15, 10, 5. Did he get there? No, he stepped out of bounds at the 5-yard line. Uncle Will, for heaven's sakes, 66 yards. Oh, my word. Down to the 5-yard line. Will Disley for president. That ends the first quarter with the score 7, Seahawks, Broncos 7. We'll be back with more from Denver after these words.
He's out of breath.
From American Express. Holy catfish.
Wow.
Who was more out of breath, Disley or Rabel?
The thin air got Rabes,
that's
too.
That's a great effort by Rabes right there. why he's the one.
How did that come together? Who was this Will Disley guy with the first 100-yard day in the history of this franchise for a rookie wide receiver?
Really? Any receiver?
Yeah, rookie receiver, tight end, never caught 100 passes his first 100 yards his first time out.
I don't know. I was hollering in the middle of the run. I was hollering, "It's Mike Ditka! It's Ditka!" He looked like Ditka right down the field. anyway, that was good. Yeah, he's a really good athlete, and the fact that we talked him up as a blocker and he you know, he little slam release touchdown first play. You know, that was nice that he got that done. So he's going to be a good ball player across the board, and he did a really nice job of blocking. So he had a heck of a game.
How important is that?
Almost had, you know, we told the fade to him, and he's there again. We just missed him. That was one Russ needed to hit, and we get a huge play right there.
What kind of weapon can he be, and can the whole tight end position be in today's version of the NFL?
I don't think it's that much different than it's ever been. I don't know. Maybe you see something I don't know, but the guys that can make the plays and come through, they don't have to be the fastest guys or the niftiest guys. I mean, to look at the names, you know, when you go back, you go Gates and Gonzalez and those guys weren't running real fast. And Witten in their later days, they just keep making the plays and they make the catches, you know. Will is one of those kinds of receivers. He's got really good hands. He's a really good all-around athlete. I think he needs to get comfortable with catching balls in games. He's only caught a handful of passes in his career, you know, 20-something passes in college, I don't know, so whatever it was. So, but it looks like it's there to be had, so we're going to, you know, we'll just keep using him. We're thrilled to have him.
Speaking of catches, the coach's tape show anything on their reversal of the call at the end of the game that was initially or anything that you heard from them?
The touchdown on the sidelines? Oh, man, I got the chance to go back and see the TV copy. And I can see why our guys upstairs said, there's no way this is a touchdown. You know, it was such a weird look, though, because his foot looks like it's on the on the green, but then it's on the white. His foot is in the ground on the white. So where they saw that, I don't know. You know, I don't know where they saw him inbounds. But it was a really – if they had the same view that we were looking at, I don't know. They were really definitive about it, too.
It's a weird play because of they didn't confirm it, right? They just said the call stands, which means that because the first official called it incomplete, he was overruled by another official,
yeah,
so that it goes up to the booth, yeah, and then whatever
it goes up
they
the booth anyway.
Yeah. Right, because it's a touchdown. But if they had originally called it incomplete, they would have had to challenge, and then they probably wouldn't have won the challenge.
They might not even have challenged it. Because if you watch the clip that we watched, oh no, his foot's on the white. You know, they might not even have challenged the play, and the guy in the back thought he saw it right, and then they were all tuned in. They thought they saw that one right. You know, when after they came away from the replay, I don't know how they interpreted that, but that would have gone, you know, to New York too, and they talked about it. I don't know. We'll find out more.
You played a lot of guys yesterday. Almost everybody on your defense played at least a few snaps. We saw, what, four safeties and a bunch of linebackers. How much of that was the heat and altitude? How much of it was injury? How much of it was trying to get a look at some more guys and some of the developmental nature?
It was really all of that. I mean, we knew we needed to rotate guys just because of the altitude. We wanted to see some guys, and then some guys got kind of banged up during the course of the game. So we just had to dump the bench out on, you know, and everybody was playing. And so everybody contributed in a nice way and gave us a chance. You know, we had a chance to win a football game in a very difficult situation. I'm just so darn frustrated that we didn't pull it off because it would have been awesome to get it.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of development this year? I mean, you've talked before about it being a developmental program. You got a lot of young guys who are out there, and it seemed like a few of them struggled with a few plays that you mentioned. But where can we see this team improve over the course of 16?
They'll improve enormously. I mean, that's Will's first game, you know, in real time. It's Trey's first game in real time. He played really well outside, played really physical and tough and all that. It's going to go across the board. I don't know what Michael Dixon's going to do, but it's his first game.
I disagree with that one. There's not going to be much more improvement.
I don't know.
You can't hit drives farther than 400 yards. I mean, it becomes anatomically impossible.
Well, you can do it. 59 more yards. Consistent. He was phenomenal. I mean, 59. He was 59, I think, through all the preseason, too. So he just kind of stayed.
You called his punts gorgeous. I heard it after the game. I've never heard that word used by a coach to describe anything on a football field.
Just watching him in pregame there.
It's
amazing. I really thought it would be a challenge to him that he would get caught up in over-kicking because he had the chance to kick it so far. He handled it beautifully. He did just like he's been doing. And he's a marvelous competitor. And his brain about it is really balanced and clear. And he's ready to handle this. We've got to make sure he can handle the success, too. But I was really fired up about it.
Is there more in that special teams phase to grow from a kick return, a punt return? Is there more opportunity when he talks about development? Is that something in a phase that you can get more out of?
Well, yeah. The kickoff thing right now is a little bit of a mystery, and we're trying to figure this thing out. You saw they tried to kick the ball short to us, and we knocked it out past the 30, and they got us one time. There's choices in here of what's going on, and we're trying to figure out. Everybody's trying to gauge what's cooking with, you know, can you block when you can't double team, you know, and can you block when you're that close to the guys coming out, and can the guys cover from the stationary position that they're at, you know. So we're all trying to uncover that right now. There was no kickoff returns for touchdowns in preseason, which is a little bit rare, and I don't think there was one yesterday either. Did somebody get one?
Did the kid from Kansas City run it back? Hill? Tariq Hill?
I don't know if that was a punt or
return. Yeah, punt
or return.
Sorry.
Yeah, the kickoff thing is really kind of under investigation by all of us right now, trying to figure out what's up. So that may be a little more static than it's been, and we might not get as much out of that on either end of it. But the punt game, punt return game, yeah, when you have, you know, Tyler Lockett back there, good things can happen. We just didn't quite get free on this one.
So what's it like last week? You're sitting here at your office. All of a sudden, news comes out that Earl Thomas is going to report. Were you expecting it?
Well, I was kind of hoping for it, and the thought that knowing who he is and how competitive he is, and he wants to play the game, he loves to play, that, you know, that it might come that, to that. So I wasn't really that surprised. What was really exciting to see was just how it all came down. The way Earl handled it, the way the players handled it. I don't know, but I didn't follow the media in it so much, but our guys in here really dealt with it just right. And Earl was embraced. Everybody made him feel comfortable. We realized that he might be the most uncomfortable guy in the place. And just because not knowing how he would be received, and our guys, I think probably, couldn't have done it better, really. And so it just worked out. Earl had a good week of practice. We didn't see a lot from him. We couldn't see a ton of it, but that's why we had to try and spot him in the game some. We probably played him more than we thought. We planned to play him less than that, but he was going fine. He felt it, and everything was working out. So he may be the source guy in Seattle today, after taking the hits and all that. So we'll see
what happens. Do you make of some of his comments? Because he's posted that he feels disrespected. He said after the game that he was going to – what was the exact term he used, Brock? That he would make some decisions, but until he got paid.
Going to protect
he
himself.
He would protect himself.
All I can do is just put the best product out there as possible, protect myself until I do get paid.
What do you make of where Earl is at mentally and emotionally right now?
I just told you, he was great. He was his competitive self. He worked really hard. He responded with players, and the players responded with him. He went right back into who he has always been. He's been a great battler, competitor, and he went out and played like crazy, played really well. We have to definitely protect him for a good while now until he gets back into playing shape and gets his time on the field and all that kind of stuff. And concerned for him, because he comes right in off the, from home. And so we'll see how that goes. A lot of guys in the league didn't play in preseason, and for one of the first times that it really was noticeable. I'm anxious to see how guys turn out, and all that.
And a guy a little different in that he was ramping up to this to a degree was Deion Jordan. But likewise, you're going to protect him a little bit with some of his first action in quite some while, certainly some live bullets. How did he come out of it?
He made it out fine. I sat with him last night on the plane, just visiting just about that. He was really pleased that he got to play. He was frustrated that he didn't get to do some things that he wanted to do, and his timing wasn't there like he would have hoped. But how could it be, And so it was great to get him on the field. So in terms of development, Earl's going to develop. Deion's going to develop. Griff's going to develop. I mean, Diss is going to develop. All these guys we have a lot of improvement ahead of us. Just getting your feet on the ground for the first time. We're going on the road again. Here we go. Let's go to Chicago. Now it's going to be a crazy place there too. And these guys are going to learn fast. And so as long as they can just keep making progress, we got very high hopes.
How about Brandon Marchand yesterday?
He played great. He really practiced beautifully through the last couple weeks, and really finally got into shape and looked good and felt confident in his breaks and his cuts and his catches and all that. He'll improve a lot with Russ. There's a chemistry here that can go to a real high level. They're working at it and they're really communicating well, but it'll get better. Russ knows that he's open. He knows that he can make the catches. He's looking at him and with the thought that he can make some stuff happen. We went right to him in the red zone and beautifully unfortunate. I mean, we get the penalty on the first one. He should have two touchdown catches on the day. So I think everybody should be really excited about this. I know we are.
Let me challenge your soreness thing. I bet Sweezy's maybe more sore.
Sweezy could be too, yeah. He took a lot of lumps.
Yeah, he's flying.
He did get 2 weeks of kind of working it, though, so yeah. He's got a little bit more than Earl had. He was in pads a couple times.
But he's in that pit against those guys trying to fly around and do all he can. So I guess there as well. Was Fluker close? Is KJ close to next Monday? Do you have any feel for those guys?
They're gonna go for it. They're gonna see what they can get done. The doc's got to do a nice job. We don't put these guys out too soon. KJ's running today for the first time, really hard, and so we'll find out. It would be a miraculous return if he makes it back this week, and for him in particular. DJ, we got to make sure that we don't take him too far too fast. We got to make sure he gets through. And Sweez did a good job in there for him, so that we're okay there if we get a hold of him another week.
Jermaine,
how about Doug?
I haven't heard back. He was sore last night, but he walked. He was walking okay and all that. He wasn't hampered in that regard. But he got hurt. He got hurt. There isn't anybody tougher than him. And if you can come back, he'll come back. And that's why he went back in the game. And we were trying to talk him out of it. Get him to get out of there. And he made the right decision and not battle us.
Such a bummer on third downs with him too yesterday, because many of those opportunities
we were really counting on that. Yeah, that was a big part of it.
Hey, how did Jermaine come out of this thing? You know, I love how you say you go and talk to guys and, you know, try to get a feel for where they're at. And Nifedi battled through this preseason, opened up the competition. I thought played his best game. That third preseason game was just awesome in Minnesota. Now, Von Miller, you know, and one of the most difficult guys to block. But how do you feel Jermaine came out of it?
He did all right. He's been playing pretty consistently. The play action when Vaughn gets the big rush is a difficult one to put him in. We played faking and he was way outside and he had to battle to go get him. And the guy's a great player. That was a tough situation for him. But for the most part, he held up pretty good. Didn't get knocked back into the quarterback at all. I thought he was pretty stout. And we didn't get to see enough in the running game to really know.
Khalil Mack and the Bears next week.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that. The highlights, I think. Let me say that again. There was one flash where they just showed some of the things he did, and I was looking on John's iPhone there on the plane before we took off, and I couldn't believe how fast he looked chasing and doing stuff. It was like three or four plays that were just phenomenal
sack,
plays.
Pick six, fumble recovery, tackle for loss.
Great.
Do you even need to practice?
Jeez. Yeah, that's an amazing.
You got to run at that performance. Yeah, got to run. And I think getting that run game going this week, of everything that you have said over the last 20
has
minutes
to
or so.
It has to happen. We need to do that. So that makes it so you can't get a sack when you're running, you know. So
darn true. Yeah, it's absolutely it. True. There you go. Coach, we appreciate it. That's the first Pete Carroll show this year, the first of many.
That went fast.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Till then, the hay
is in the barn.
See you, everybody.
This is the chopper!